This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore! Austin 316 says I just ripped your ass. This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
What is good? It is the Crisis. This is your AEW Dynamite review, and I'm doing my best cosplay of Mimi Burris. Hey, life things happen, so sometimes you need a celebrity shot, and that is where you insert the Crisis. I apologize. The episode being late is completely my fault. I was not aware that I misunderstood, as a matter of fact, that Matt needed someone to fill in, and I was actually on my way to the west side of Washington. I'm from the east side, so it's a 6-hour drive. So in the middle of my 6-hour drive, I realized that you guys needed a Dynamite review, and as much as I tried to get it done last night, yesterday was all about my boy. I want to give him a shout out, Alexander, 18 years old, had his senior night football game. It was awesome to go over there and spend it with them. The game, not so much. 46-6 shellacking, and we were not on the positive end of that, but that was neither here nor there. It was a celebration of the seniors, and so, hey, to all the senior football, high school football players out there, hey, congratulations. To those of you who keep going, you know, hey, best of luck to you. And for those that don't, hey, I hope you get to cherish all those memories for the rest of your life. However, we're not here to talk football. We're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk AEW Dynamite. And I know that it's late, but hey, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give it to you quick today because I just got back. Literally, I've only been in my house a total of about 10 minutes from a 6-hour drive back. Yes, I did 6 hours there yesterday. Stayed the night in the hotel, 6 hours back, and I am finally at home because I did not want to record this on the road and not be paying attention fully. I really want to, you know, give you a review, because I know some of you, you know, this sometimes you miss the show, and this is how you get your recap. So I feel it's my responsibility to give you an A product every single time. So we're going to jump right into it. First match of the night. There's so much about this. It was CM Punk and the infamous Bobby Fish. And I got to say this. I talked about it last week. I am over the honeymoon phase with CM Punk. And it really is starting to feel like other fans are as well. It's not that I don't want Punk around, or I'm not happy that he's back, or proud of him for what he could still do in the ring and all that good jazz. It's that I am done cheering for CM Punk, the human being. I want to cheer for CM Punk, or boo, rather, for the CM Punk, the character. And I really feel like this could have been the match. And when we get to the end of this, I almost wonder, was it supposed to be? Because, hey, this match was off the chain. Bobby Fish's new character, his new persona, this infamous Bobby Fish, is ruthless. I'm talking ruthless. Bobby Fish is not a rookie, and JR does allude to that. He is not a rookie. He is not a new guy. He is a veteran in there with another veteran, and in this match, he hit hard. There is a kick. Even JR says, he's like, oh, I think he aimed for his back, but Bobby Fish actually laid a solid, I'm talking solid, kick to the back of the head on CM Punk, and you know, props to CM Punk. He took a hell of a bump, and that's what this whole match was about. A little technical wrestling, but it was mainly Bobby Fish focusing on the leg and CM Punk trying to get to the GTS, and ultimately, like I was saying just a minute ago, I feel like some of the crowd and some of the fans are actually feeling the same way I'm feeling in being over this honeymoon phase, because there was a lot of "Let's go, Bobby" chants in response to the CM Punk chants. Now, the CM Punk chants, much, much louder still, but you're starting to hear chants for his opponents almost as regularly as for him during his matches. And that right there tells me that this honeymoon phase is almost over. And this, in my opinion, would have been the match to do it, because I want to see a feud between Bobby Fish and CM Punk. And I really think, in my opinion, this was the match to put an L on CM Punk. Yeah, yeah, I said it. An L on CM Punk. And an L is not going to diminish CM Punk. But what he does after that L will only build him. And at the same time, a win over CM Punk from Bobby Fish would have cemented him as one of the top heels in AEW, simply by beating CM Punk. And the absolute fan reaction that would have created. And the reason why I say I thought this might actually been supposed to happen is because at the very end of the match, maybe they got confused, maybe they were getting tired. Bobby Fish went to go pick up CM Punk. CM Punk reversed it, tried to pick him up for the GTS, but like I said, Bobby Fish was focusing on the legs, so CM Punk sold it, but then he regrouped himself, picked up Bobby Fish, hit him with the GTS, took an extended amount of time. That's key. Because of the knee and because of the length of the match and the brutality, CM Punk hit the GTS, but then it was slow to get the cover. And by the time he got to the cover, on that three count, you can watch it back. I've watched it about 5 times now. I, beyond the shadow of a doubt, believe that Bobby Fish kicked out. Yeah, yeah, you gotta see this. It's a very small pause at the end of the match, because the ref, he hits the 1-2-3, Bobby Fish gets his arm up, and then the look on CM Punk's face as he's staring back at the ref is almost absolute shock. Like shock, as he was ready to sell either Bobby Fish kicking out, or he was shocked that he got the 1-2-3. I'm telling you, one or the other happened. We're going to have to wait for the next show to see if they build on it. But CM Punk does beat Bobby Fish, but this could have been the match that Bobby Fish went over, and maybe, just maybe, maybe they got me. You know, CM Punk, maybe that's how good he is at selling. Maybe the ref, that's how good he was at selling, but I don't care how you look at it. You watch the match, and Bobby Fish kicked out before the 1-2-3. But, you know, we'll talk more about that later. The best part about this match, though, in my opinion, though, was actually had nothing to do with the match. It had to do with the transition, because regardless, it's either here or there. We'll find out later, you know, about the finish, you know, and, you know, my opinion is, yep, bottom line, Infamous should have went over. But as soon as this match was over, it went straight into Malakai Black, and Malakai Black cut a promo so short, but said so much. He said simply this, "Hey, Cody, you thought this was all about pinfalls? This is not just about pinfalls." And that really struck a chord with me, because, hey, I was very adamant. I do not understand why Cody Rhodes beat Malakai Black. That made absolutely zero sense to me. It actually infuriated me. But, hey, that's what wrestling is. It's supposed to invoke a response and get you invested and get emotion from you. And that's what it did for me. And I'm so glad that they immediately revisited this week. Malakai Black put it simply, it's not just about pinfalls. He talks about how he has destroyed the whole Nightmare family, and then he just literally cuts out and goes away. And I'm looking forward, I can't believe it, I am looking forward to a fourth match between these two guys, because Malakai Black, I've been a big fan of his since his his former name in former promotions. And I do not understand why anybody would let this man go, because he has my favorite finisher in the game. He has, you know, just one of the most amazing looks, one of the most amazing entrances. And yeah, I don't understand in any way, shape, or form why you would get rid of this guy or let him walk away. That's just absolutely silly to me. After that, we get throughout the night, you know, in the beginning of the show, is constantly being said that MJF is going to be in ring action, because believe it or not, four matches in the last year. Four. He has only been in four matches, and that speaks volumes, because I said last week he can come out. He doesn't have to wrestle. All he has to do is come out and open his mouth, and open his mouth he did. He torched this Boston crowd. It was one of the most ruthless, just unapologetic. I mean, I can't even, the crazy part is, because I know this is a PG channel and AEW is not PG. Like, the things that they've been saying, I feel like they've been pushing it further and further and further, almost, I mean, not to the cringy point like DX did back in the day, but damn. I mean, that's about all I can say, you know, for PG rating is, damn, this was beautiful. He disrespected the women of Boston. He disrespected their accents. He disrespected their mothers. He disrespected absolutely everything about this. But, you know, this promo had so much more, because you forget almost that he had a match. Yeah. He cuts this whole promo. But in reality, there was about, I think I looked it up online, maybe it was 32 seconds or something, but he just absolutely, I don't even know the name of the dude. Like, the guy that he wrestled looked like no, I'm not going to do that. He must be an enhancement talent. He is working hard, and you know, this is probably the greatest and biggest platform he's ever gotten on. So I'm not gonna degrade the poor other professional wrestler, quote unquote, because it wasn't even a squash match. It was two moves through the rope, DDT, done. 30 some odd seconds, and that was it. And it actually worked, because hey, MJF filled his quota. He filled his in-ring obligations. Like I keep saying, the best heel in the business. But after he does the match, quote unquote, and absolutely torches the crowd, you know, he's really throwing out, you know, how they like to cheer for Darby Allin, how they like to cheer for losers. And then cue Sting's music. And this was hilarious. Sting's music hits, and after his music hits, you know, lights go down, they come up, the snow's falling, and then, you know, MJF and his cronies are in the ring having a hoot, because, hey, that's obviously, they have a friend in the video department, they cued the music, no Sting, and you have MJF just laughing hysterically throughout the ring. And just as, you know, you think, and I honestly did think that was about it, that was going to be it, no, because now the lights go down again, and this time when they come up, it comes up with Darby Allin, and he has a graphic that comes up on the Jumbotron that says, "Now time to break you physically." And lights come up, everybody's in the ring, you know, MJF and Wardlow and their buddy in the ring, and I think it's, what, Scorpius guy, is that his name? I'm new, and right off the top of my head, I just can't remember his name, the third member there with MJF, but there's no Sting, no Darby Allin is to be seen. And MJF actually runs out of the ring and hides next to the barricade where the fans are. And they actually got me here too. I didn't notice until the announcers pointed it out. There's Darby Allin, trench coat and everything, right behind MJF. He hops the barrier, comes after MJF. MJF runs all the way up the ramp, and it's really funny. He actually ends up – it was like a horror movie, okay? MJF goes running freely up the ramp and somehow ends up falling down. I just don't get it. You know, like that awesome commercial, I think it's a Geico commercial or something like that, where, you know, you see the horror scene and the group of people are there and the girl's like, why can't we just use that perfectly good car with the lights on and the keys in it? And the other kid says, no, let's go hide behind the wall of chainsaws. It was campy in that aspect. MJF runs away. He's about a good 50 yards away, and he falls down. And even JR laughs at him. He's like, he says MJF is on all fours, and like he couldn't understand how he fell down either. But anyways, so then Darby Allin pulls out a skateboard. It has tacks in it, and Sting comes in with a bat, and they just destroy Wardlow and the other guy, absolutely destroy him. And again, MJF, he leaves his Abilabuddies alone in the ring to take the beating, like a great heel should do. And he ends up staying up on the ramp and walking away. Standing tall is Darby Allin. His music hits again, you know, for the ending of the segment. He says, hey, cut my music. And all he says is his MJF, full gear. That's it. My friends, right there in the first half of the show, or for first quarter of the show, you've had two promos that lasted, realistically, if you take Darby Allin's promo when he started on the mic and said those two words, and then you take Malakai Black and his like 20-second promo, they said so much, did so much, but not having to overload it with words and theatrics and that. That is another reason why I'm fully invested in enjoying AEW. As we get back from the break, we get a really neat wrinkle. Apparently, Abaddon had a match with Dr. Britt Baker at DMD. Had a match with Britt Baker on Jericho's Cruise, and Dr. Britt Baker apparently walked out on it. So out of nowhere, we get this match that's going to be coming up here on Rampage, and it's going to be Dr. Britt Baker versus Abaddon. And if Abaddon wins, Abaddon actually gets a title match. What? Where did this come from? I don't know if maybe they're just trying to make sure that people keep the storyline right, or I'm not sure if they're trying to make sure that the people that were on the cruise don't feel like they were left out of the storyline, because that is a very unique wrinkle, and it just seems to happen. But either way, it gives us something for Dr. Britt Baker to do before her match with Ty Conti at Full Gear. That's ultimately what I think it's for. So that way you don't have to put Ty Conti or Dr. Britt Baker really around each other in any form. They can keep talking. They don't need to be in a match just yet, because they have an epic match coming up. And I've already said it. Ty Conti is going to be your new AEW Women's World Champion, and I'm putting all the money, the house, everything on that. This next segment is the Ethan Page versus Sammy Guevara. And oh, yep, I see where I messed up there. I remember Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. Yeah, I don't really care about those guys either, because I don't care about America's Top Team at all in any way, shape, or form. However, this is the match that is going to decide if, like I said last week, if Sammy Guevara gets kicked out of his friends group and loses his friends forever in the inner circle, which absolutely ridiculous. I'm still laughing at the notion of it. I feel like this is one of the less well-produced storylines in AEW right now. I'm just not a fan of any of this, to be honest. And I'm going to get some more of what I actually don't. Like, I know I'm really positive about a lot of things because, A, I buy into wrestling. I enjoy wrestling in such a way that it's supposed to be enjoyed, you know, just the same way as, you know, some people enjoy their zombie shows or their anime. You know, for me, it is wrestling. That's why I watch 4 to 5 different wrestling shows a week. But anyways, this is the match to see if Sammy Guevara, if he wins, he gets to choose the 3 members of America's Top Team that are going to be joining and wrestling them in this epic 5-on-5 match between Top Team and you know, Jericho and the Inner Circle. But to be honest with you, this segment was sloppy. The match wasn't bad. I mean, but I don't see a lot of chemistry between these two. Sammy Guevara obviously wins. Got to progress a storyline, and I hope that it progresses a storyline as fast as possible, because to be honest with you, I want to see all of these professional wrestlers in storylines with other professional wrestlers. I do not buy into these UFC guys. I just don't care. Like I said before, what you do in other companies in that nature, it doesn't carry over to here, because this is the professional wrestling world. And another thing that I really, really didn't like about this segment, and I really hate to rag on one of the all-time greats, but I really feel like MJF has just set the bar so high with being a heel and what he says and how he does it, that in my mind, he has surpassed even Jericho in his prime. Because Jericho says, again, you know, this is not PG show. So Chris Jericho goes into an absolute ridiculous wordplay. I can't even repeat any of it on this show. Nor do I really want to, because I'm a grown human being. I'm watching professional wrestling, and I understand, you know, some of it's going to be a little funny, a little goofy here and there. But I do not need poop and genitalia jokes. I just don't. Really, really don't. And especially seeing how we're at the 54 minute mark by the time of the show when Jericho starts this, I'll be honest with you, I stepped out for a second and I went and got me a Lunchable. Yes, I just said earlier, I'm a grown man watching professional wrestling. And yes, when I got bored, I went and grabbed myself a Lunchable. And if you haven't had a Lunchable in a long time, I'm not sponsoring them or trying to promote them or anything. I'm just saying I'm trying to sponsor happiness. And ladies and gentlemen, Lunchables equals happiness. and that's just not what this match gave me. So I had to go get me some, because, yeah, I mean, to wrap it up, Sammy Guevara wins. He gets to pick the members of Top Team of guys I just don't care about. And yeah, we're going to get that 5-on-5 match. I'm just curious how long the match is actually going to be, and who actually goes over. I don't want to watch it, but I will gladly look it up and or get it from somebody else, because I know when I watch Full Gear, that's going to be my bathroom break, Lunchable break. I promise you, because they're the professional wrestlers. That's what I want to watch. I don't want to watch UFC guys, mixed martial arts guys pretending to be professional wrestlers. And maybe I'm the only one that thinks that. You know, I know it's a pretty strict stance. So, hey, maybe you can tweet at me. It's at State of Crisis, spelled crisis with a K, K-R-I-S-I-S. And, hey, let me know. Am I the only one here? Am I the only one that sees it this way? Or am I just being an old head and I need to, you know, give in and buy in a little more? no pun intended. One of the hardest things to do is to book 2 baby faces against each other. And that's what we get in our next segment. It is Bryan Danielson, Eddie Kingston. They start to have a promo together. Well, so to speak, one takes a turn, the other one does. Eddie Kingston, you know, gets intense and aggravated with Bryan Danielson as he stands there and keeps his mouth shut while Tony Schiavone conducts this interview. And Eddie Kingston says, hey, you know, he says, you know, Bryan Danielson, you don't think I work hard? You don't think I work hard? And goes into a you know, a good rant about how he's worked hard his whole life, yada, 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 yada. I mean, this is a storyline and a pitch and a promo. We have all heard, if you've watched professional wrestling, we've heard this promo 50 million times. And it didn't really get over that much more for me. But they had to do something because, you know, Daniel Bryan responds after Eddie Kingston says what he says, and then he just walks away. And you know, trying to be a little heelish, a little renegade-ish, like he is, like him and Jon Moxley kind of are. But the bottom line is you have two baby faces going against each other in this tournament. And so they had to make it seem like it meant something. Hey, that's where I give a little kudos to AEW, because instead of just throwing two guys together, regardless if it's a tournament or not, the fact is they're in a match together, and that's really all we really ask for as a fan is, why are these two people in this ring together, and why should I care? And hey, they really did kind of, you know, finish it off. Bryan Danielson, you know, he basically compliments Eddie Kingston, saying, that's the Eddie Kingston I want. That's the Eddie Kingston I want to fight, and that's the Eddie Kingston I want to beat, you know. Raising the emotional level of the match. This match is going to be off the hook. I don't expect it to be long. I really, really don't. But, you know, when I keep talking about this honeymoon phase, I guess that's, you know, that's why I'm kind of checking out, you know, until further notice with Bryan Danielson as well, because, you know, hey, I want to see more Bryan Danielson, the professional wrestler. Like he even says, the professional wrestler, and that includes a gimmick, that includes your character. Bryan Danielson is literally from, you know, about 120 miles from where I'm from. You know, there's a lot of hometown love there, you know, and I know Bryan Danielson, the human being, amazing human being, vegan. That's weird. No, I'm just kidding. No vegans out there. I'm just kidding. I'm just making a joke. I'm not going to appetite discriminate against anybody. I make good vegan dishes myself. But, you know, I'm ready to root for a character. And I don't think that Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole, nor CM Punk have had the opportunity to do that. While other people that have shown up have been able to do that. You got your Malakai Black. You got your Bobby Fish, you know. So it'll happen eventually. Maybe it'll happen towards the end of this tournament. I don't know. I'd like to see personally Bryan Danielson maybe get to the finals and just get screwed. Maybe he gets screwed out of making it making it out as the winner, and maybe that makes him mad. You know, I don't know. I really don't know where it's going to go from here, because, like I said, we have no idea, because we are not seeing a character from these guys. We are still seeing the human being that we're just cheering has arrived or has come back from so many years. So please, if AEW actually listens to this podcast, which I know they do, please. Please, let's get the story going. Let's get the show on the road. So 50 wins. Nobody has gotten 50 wins, and it's believable because that's a lot of matches to do. But 50 wins, I gotta say, 50 wins is impressive, and that is where we come to next. 50 wins, which has eluded Hikaru Shida for about 3 weeks because, hey, you know, Serena Deeb, her new character, her heel character, it is working, and that's where we're going to next, is we have a rematch between Serena Deeb and Hikaru Shida as she chases that 50th win. And to be honest with you, I thought this was going to go on longer. Like for real. Yeah, I would have had her sitting on that 50th win for as long as I could, but at the same time, it is kind of a low storyline. I don't think a lot of people really, you know, they don't have these two girls aren't necessarily at the top of the tier. So maybe multiple storylines, you know, is what they need to get there. So I understand why they didn't, but yeah, obviously, yeah, you know by now, Hikaru Shida actually gets the W and gets her 50th win. And I just want to say,
congratulations, because to be the first person, man or woman, in AEW to 50 wins, hey, that puts you in the record books. And I'm all about records. That's another reason I like AEW. They keep track of records. and this isn't an exaggerated, blown out of proportion, made up record like somebody named, oh gosh, what Gilbert or something? I don't know his name. It's another horrible professional wrestler that I've seen back in the day, but you know, had a ridiculous streak of wins that just reached ridiculous numbers, so we knew it wasn't believable. But this 50 wins, Hikaru Shida, congratulations. And they even almost teased that she was going to actually get disqualified by using that 50th win plaque. But hey, you know, no. Bottom line is simplicity. She won her 50th win, and I'm going to move on to the next segment. I'm literally going to review the next segment in the same manner that it happened. Jon Moxley wrestled against somebody from the Dark Order. He beat him. He walked out. That's it. That is Jon Moxley. Now. I've said so much on how upset I was with Cody Rhodes beating Malakai Black. And I gotta say, obviously, that is what I am supposed to feel, because Cody Rhodes comes out, and I mean, this crowd is booing him, and they are booing him hard. And he talks about, you know, how when he went to go do that finishing moves on Malakai Black, then when he got the two arms hooked up, he thought of doing another move. And I have to, you know, maybe I'm just taking a shot in the dark. I'm pretty sure he was thinking about the pedigree. But he doesn't name it. He doesn't say whose it was. But he goes on to say, hey, maybe I could do that and then abuse my power and as an executive and go get the AEW title. And he says that would be too easy. But then, I mean, I can't do Cody Rhodes justice on this one. This here is exactly why Cody Rhodes is one of the pillars and one of the people that is responsible for us having AEW to enjoy. I'm going to let you just hear exactly what he says right here.
No, not the matches. The matches would be hard, but that is the easy way out. I feel like as a fan, you have your right to do whatever you want. You can cheer. You can boo. But if you're going to boo the narrative, boo the true narrative. Nobody has any problem acknowledging the man who signs the checks, but please don't forget the man who built this bank.
he then says something along the lines to the effect of, hey, I put myself in your shoes, now put yourself in mine. And then he starts saying some really real stuff right here.
Think about it. I grew up in front of you. I debuted at 20 years old. No knee pads, no muscles. I've got a wife that's too hot for me. I've got a brother that, if you honestly think about it, bell to bell, he's a Hall of Fame player. Dustin Rhodes is likely better than I am.
Torched. I mean, wow. Absolute wow. The way Cody Rhodes just cut that promo, I mean, I couldn't repeat the things to say to you with anything close to how he did. You had to hear that emotion. I love it when you get real stuff in professional wrestling. Not everything has to be a work. I love the shoots. I love the works. I love the truth. I love the backstage stuff. I love it all, and it all should be involved in us. So, you know, there's Cody, you know, really showing, you know, how, you know, trying to show how much he cares for the fans and what they think and all that. And then, hey, out comes Andrade Adoro, and he comes down to the ring. He talks a little bit of smash. The lights go out. Ding, ding, ding. We all know what that means. Lights come back on. There is Malakai Black standing next to Andre Adolo and some dude in a neck brace. I have no idea who he is. Looks like a manager of some sort. they end up spraying the black mist into Cody Rhodes and start beating him and Arn Anderson down. Cue Pac. Pac comes down to the ring. And when Jim Ross says he has educated feet, yes, Yes, sir. I know how worked kicks and whatnot work in professional wrestling, but I gotta say, his are so crisp and so sharp. Yeah, he can get you. He can make you believe that he just literally kicking people in the face and you know, I expect bloody noses and that sort of thing. But Pat comes down, goes ahead and clears the ring out. He goes to do a suicide dive, but that's when everybody pulls back. So, hey, you got to, you know, touch base on both storylines in one segment. You know, your Pac and your Andrade Adolo and your Cody Rhodes and your Malakai Black. So that's something that I praise AEW for a lot, and how good they are on putting as many wrestlers on a show as possible. But it makes sense. And that solid promo, solid action, moves the story along, because we are marching towards full gear. And that really leaves, I think I touched on everything except for the final match. And I forgot to mention something last week. I apologize 100%. I was so excited about recording my first show that I just literally left out one of the biggest spots, and that was last week when Adam Cole and the Young Bucks absolutely destroyed Jungle Boy. They threw him off the platform. It was probably a good 10 feet or so, 10, 15 feet down on some tables, and it looked brutal. It was well done, but it was needed because, hey, it is gimmick week, Halloween week, so that's why we get these gimmicky matches and themes and all that. And so AEW was not going to be left out of that, and that's where we have this 5-on-5 match between the Dark Order and the Elite. And hey, this started out really fun. I love the God of War costume. We have Bambi. You have one of the Dark Order dressing up as Hangman Adam Page. And then you have the Elite. They come out as the Ghostbusters, Proton Packs and everything. And those I knew were going to come into play. I knew they were going to come into play because sure as crap, Kenny Omega gets into the ring during the match, and he's got his proton pack on, and he does a really neat spot where he baits the Dark Order member into a splash in the corner as he turns around and he takes it, you know, to the back, you know, smashing into the proton pack. But these would actually come in later. This match was here for Halloween, and that's why it was really nice that they were able to step away from Jungle Boy for a minute, because Adam Cole needed to be in this match, and this is a one-off. I'm telling you, no matter which way you look at it, this match here was specifically for the season and the time that we're in. But unlike another promotion, which I know Zach over there, man, I bet you, you know, Mimi Burris would want me to give Zach a huge shout out, because, hey, both of us, all three of us have gotten to enjoy these Halloween specials, so to speak, of our respective promotions that we're watching. And hey, ours was better. AEW did it better. Period. Because even in this match, with Bambi costumes and Ghostbusters and Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, the whole thing worked. Because I'm just going to really just boil you down what basically goes down. The two groups get in the ring. They have a match. They're fighting. They have a really neat spot where they the Elite take all the proton packs and they pile them all up in the middle of the ring and do an awesome power bomb onto them, and it actually look like it hurt. You think Legos under the feet hurt? Try 4 proton packs underneath your back. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. These are not gimmick proton packs. They were plastic because they did shatter. And I bet that didn't feel good. I got to say, I bet that didn't feel good. But, you know, while these guys are all in costumes, you also had a couple other costumes coming around. You had a horse running around, and you had the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And, you know, the horse came out with the Dark Order. So you thought, hey, that's somebody from a Dark Order, you know? And And, you know, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man's out there. You can't tell who that is at all. Ultimately, it boils down to they end up beating them up, and they go to beat up the horse. And the Lee is beating the crap out of the horse. And then, I forgive me, I forget his name because it's not important. I just know it's the weird dude with the face mask, and he's always spraying that spray everywhere. I honestly don't think I've ever known his name. I know who he is. I see him and I recognize him because he's always with the Elite spraying that cold spray. And maybe it's because I just check out on that character, because that's what I do sometimes. I will admit this. If the character is really just that, God, dumb. That's the only way I can. I mean, is he even a wrestler? Will somebody tell me what he does? Because I've seen him get smashed in the ring multiple times, and I've never seen him do anything of substance. So is he enhancement talent? Is he a nobody? Is he a coach? Is he what is he? But anyways, they take the head off of the horse, and it turns out to be him. So that, yes, the Elite just beat the crap out of their own dude. And as Adam Cole's standing there in the middle of the ring, or not Adam Cole, but Kenny Omega, rather, he's standing in the middle of the ring, you know, with his shocked, oh my God face, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man actually takes off his hat. His, you know, the helmet, whatever, because it's inflated. So he takes off his helmet, and it is none other than Hangman Adam Page. And that is where I was really, really surprised, because, you know, the ref's been down for a long time at this point. Down for a long time. And all this mayhem ensues. I'm talking the proton pack smash, the horse thing, the unmasking. Because after all this ensues, you actually get a win by the Dark Order. And this is fine. This is 100% fine. The Elite lose nothing in this match by losing. The Dark Order really gained nothing in winning. I mean, like I said, this was a gimmick match for the holiday, and they just threw a little bit of storyline in there with Hangman Adam Page and Kenny Omega, and that brings to a close the Halloween gimmick episode of AEW, because now I'm ready. I'm ready to get back to reality. I'm ready to get back to what AEW does best, and that's professional wrestling with not maybe not so much goofiness, because, hey, Halloween comes around once a year, and I'm okay with that. But, you know, we are a full throttle towards full gear, and we've definitely picked up some momentum. God. Yeah, I use that word. I don't like it either. But this was a great show. I give the overall show about a B+, A-. You know, because it was entertaining. Even the parts you didn't like, it was entertaining, and the pace was amazing. There were some good spots, and yeah, that's what AEW does. And you know, like I said before, I've only been in for about a year or so, and every week, I get more and more invested into this product because, you know, competition, I said it last week, the only people that really truly benefit from competition amongst professional wrestling promotions is us, the fans. And yep, my hat is saluted, and I'm tipping it one more time to AEW. And that's it. That is it. And your Halloween episode of the review is over, so I believe I will stop pretending to be Mimi Burris. She will be back. Don't worry, guys. I don't want y'all to think that she's gone or something like that, because, hey, I could never fill those epic shoes, I promise you. I really hope she doesn't wear really big shoes, because now I just feel like kind of a jerk. But hey, you know, I'm here to have fun. I'm here to throw a celebrity shot anytime I can. Thank you for tuning in to the WWE podcast. And thanks to Matt for bringing me on to help out, because, hey, I'm passionate. I'm having fun, and if you're having fun, then hey, maybe we'll do this a little more often. Y'all have a great rest of your week, and I will talk at you later.